Very happy Thursday to all of our Katie and Kay listeners out there. This is Raleigh Burley, editor of the Sopra Sun, with Here Comes Everything Under the Sun. And I'm joined by two of our star students. We have Gus Richardson here.
Howdy.
As well as Yesenia Benavides Burgos.
Hello.
Hi. And I want to give the two of these students, as well as others, including Dom, for helping us out with our candidate forum yesterday. It was a late night, and they hung in there and were super productive, helping us do the setup as well as taking photographs throughout. Really happy with their participation in the forum as well as with the Sopra Sun.
Well, Raleigh Burley participated a little bit too, asking those questions while we were there. So his contribution can't be understated as well.
Thanks, Gus. And today's guest is Jamie LaRue, Executive Director of the Garfield County Library District. Jamie, how are you today?
I'm better than I deserve, as usual, Raleigh. Thanks.
Are you enjoying the return of spring?
I am.
Mm-hmm. It fully feels like spring now. The grass is turning green. The sun is shining bright. I'm grateful. Well, throughout the winter months, GCPLD was busy doing some community conversations, had identified a few people who might know a thing or two about the different communities that the library district serves, and based on all that information, you've started to distill it down to come up with a few initiatives. Is that a fair introduction, Jamie?
Yeah, it is. So back in September of last year, we decided that we wanted to understand the environment in which we operated. And we wanted to find a place where the library could add value. So that we began the process by saying, let's brainstorm all the movers and shakers we can think of, the community leaders. And movers and shakers just means that you talk to a lot of people. And the more people we talk to, the more you tend to find patterns and make meaning. And we thought there are lots of ways to get to know a community. But the wonderful thing about this one was we got to build relationships with local influencers and leaders. And we got to distill their wisdom from all the people that they talked to. So over the space of about 2 months, we sent out, we talked to, I think it was 85 people and 62 of our staff. And three of our trustees had so much fun doing this that they all kept wanting to go out and talking to the members of the community. So we got a big brain dump from the community in a very short period of time.
And what initiated this? When was this decided upon to do
so this? I started in May of 22. Mm-hmm. And after I was here for about a year, kind of talking to the staff and kind of getting a sense of the community, I said, what I really don't know, and I think maybe even people that have been here for a long time didn't know, what is the agenda of Garfield County? What are the big issues that all of us are working on? And when I was back, when I was a library consultant, which was a fun job too, I managed to do 9 of these kinds of community interviews with various libraries during COVID. And in every case, we found out that after about 15 people, all the interests start to converge. Everybody's talking about the same things. And so what we think we have here is kind of a draft of the 6 big themes that everybody in the county is talking about.
All right. Well, why don't you walk us through them?
Okay. Well, first, and this will not surprise anybody, was housing. We don't have enough houses. There's not enough inventory of them, and they are too expensive. And the part that I found fascinating about this, everybody can complain about this unless you happen to have bought a house, you know, 20 years ago and you can afford it. It affects almost everything in the two valleys of Garfield County. And one of them is everybody spends so much time on the highway. And so if you look at, like, the big employers in the community, number one is government, number two is healthcare, and number three is trades, skilled trades. These people get up at 5:30 in the morning, drive all the way to Aspen, and then drive all the way back at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. And what that means is by the time they get home, they have time poverty. They don't want to go out to other critical events going on in the community. They don't have a lot of time to spend with their families because they spend so much time on the highway. So, and then the high cost of housing also means that it's very difficult to recruit people to come and work in Garfield County because if you can't pay them enough to buy a house, they can't come here. So there's all these things that kind of ripple through our entire economy just based on housing. So that's mm-hmm. the first big one. The second one, and this is, I think, peaked all across the country in many communities, it's just mental health. And to put them in kind of order, there was people wanted to know who are the providers who can give me help if I run into a mental health issue. If I had to pick one word that describes all of 2020 through 2022, it would be anxiety. Mm-hmm. Everybody feels anxious, and it's not always clear why. But many, many people across all age groups talked about anxiety. Depression was a big one. And that sort of fell into senior citizens who felt isolated because of COVID. And then it was young people who spend a lot of time on social media, and that seemed to result in both anxiety and depression. Loneliness is another big one. Substance abuse. And then in particular, we found it alarming when we were talking to various advocacy groups for LGBTQ youth that suicide is 5 times higher for that particular population. So there was a great deal of concern about the mental health issues of that age group. Okay, move on to the next one, or any follow-up questions for those?
Well, I want to check in with our students while we have Gus and Yesenia. So far, what do you two think? Does this resonate as problems you could imagine we're having around here?
I mean, yeah, I'm a pretty recent arrival to the Roaring Fork Valley, and while I don't necessarily have to super worry about house payments, it's definitely hard, and it's definitely something I'm aware of. And on the youth aspect, Yesenia, do you want to hop in? I can agree or disagree to whatever you say, but I want to mansplain being a teenager.
I have seen like a lot of like teens, and also a lot of like young kids get like so stuck into social media, and I've seen like that it leads them to have high anxiety or depression. I think I've also been like, also like once I was like stuck in the social media world where like everything had to do with that, and like I wouldn't even like talk to my friends at some point because I was so stuck on social media.
Yeah, it feels like you're connected, but they're not friends. You know, they're just sort of acquaintances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes like, it's also like social media is like tries to be so positive, but it actually has like a, sometimes it can have a really negative impact on you and like on your image and how you see yourself and how you see others.
Yeah, like how come my life isn't as perfect as everybody else's?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that input. I think let's keep moving along because there's so much to cover today.
Okay, the next big one was building community, and something I really want to underscore. Many people mentioned as we got into this that they were concerned about the polarity in our society, but nobody was saying, let's take all the liberals and ship them somewhere else, or let's take all the conservatives and ship them somewhere else. It was like, we want to have meaningful conversations with each other. Mm. And so that came down to everything from celebrating culture. Among the most popular things a library does are when we have a Hispanic Heritage Festival, 523 people show up. I think it's the food, but food and music will do it, you know. And then many people talked about the decline of civility in public meetings. Instead of standing up and saying, thank you for doing this, I have a question, it's like, you know, you rascal, you're up to something terrible. And so we've seen this at library board meetings. We've seen it at school board meetings. Mm-hmm. And so there's a real awareness that we need to be more polite and kind to each other. Hispanic outreach. One of the first things I noticed when I got here, 30% of our population is Spanish-speaking, 60% in the schools. Our libraries don't look like that, and it's almost like they're strangely segregated populations. And so I think there's an awareness of a term that I hadn't heard before, the language justice idea. Mm-hmm. And that's everything from people need to have access to legal resources, they need to be... it needs to be possible for people who speak Spanish to truly participate in civic events, and that requires often translation. And then inclusivity, racism was mentioned as a problem that pops up in the valleys. People wanted a lot more information. That was everything from coverage of all kinds of government meetings to they wanted to see government cooperate. They don't like it when they see government fighting with each other. They very much are concerned about transparency in government. Why are agencies deciding what they do? They like lots of local events. Carbondale is particularly good at that. And they want to maintain community character, and one of the ways they want to do that is by volunteering. So people really were looking for a way to give back. Mm-hmm. I found this a very encouraging message in our times to say that, in fact, people wanted to be part of a community. They wanted to help each other and talk to each other and see cooperation.
All right.
Okay, on to the next big one was economy, lots of economic issues. Small businesses were looking for more support. They wanted their chamber and the city to step up and help them. Many of them talked about how high the rents are in all of our six communities. Where there is a great deal of growth, people wanted it to be smart growth. They wanted the development to be sustainable, not just, you know, a sprawl. They were very interested. We began to see some of these poverty indicators. So food insecurity, inflation, and poverty came up. And again, workforce recruitment and retention. And I mentioned this business about trying to hire someone and they can't come here if the house is too expensive. The other thing I'm beginning to notice is this kind of theme of the lost children. So somebody gets out of high school and they go to community college. And then they say, now I want to, you know, I'd like to stay here, but I can't afford to stay here unless I'm living with my parents. And so many of our children, when they get to that college, post-college age, have to leave our area if they want to afford a place to live. So that's kind of a concern. It's another good spot to stop. Two of those. Any comments or questions?
I mean, yeah. If how are we supposed to, like, build our community? Like, I'm sure we all want to, if the children can't stay after they're done with schooling.
Yeah.
Also, something that I noticed when you were talking, I think that we're all very aware in the community of that we are like trying to move past a little bit of that racism stuff. Like in the high school, we just had that hate speech panel, and that was really interesting and really enlightening, where we had a lot of people from the community come in and talk about how they've been negatively affected by hate speech. We had a rabbi and an openly gay man and a lot of Hispanic women, and it was very good and insightful. If you want to say anything more on that, Yesenia.
Sure.
Or anything.
I was going to say more on the, like, building the community, but like the kids, when teens are done with college, I was actually having that conversation with a couple friends that we really like this community, and it's like nice. It's small, but it's not too small. And we're saying like, oh, like, how will we come back from college? Because they're really expensive. And it's not like we want, well, we love our family, but we want to build our own things in the future and not stay with our family forever.
Well, but I also think it's hard to have a community that's exciting and interesting if all the young people are gone.
Yeah, that sucks.
You add energy.
Yeah. On the hate speech, that was, I saw a lot of people really, like, I talked to a couple people after. I really liked it. I saw a lot of people really like it. I think you were going to talk to, you talked to the presenters after.
Yeah, I had to run up and do a little interview afterwards. Yeah. I have a write-up coming up next week.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. I think we also, like, Roaring Fork has, I think, all schools, but we have a student equity council. And I think they don't do it bad. I think our school is, they're really handling and trying to move past it, like he said, like Gus said.
Yeah, yeah. Our Student Equity Council, for example, has been really trying to tackle the issue that, yeah, our schools are 60% Hispanic, but all of our AP courses are like 5%. And that's an issue that we should address.
Well, and I'll get to that. That was one of the issues
I
was
mentioned. Oh, cool. All right. Well, let's keep going then.
Okay. Well, the next one was kind of a grab bag category, and I just call it quality of life. And for instance, one of the things that came up after about 15 people is the phrase climate change. People are very aware of climate change, but they didn't mean it in the political sense. It wasn't like we're opposed to oil and gas. It was like the reason so many people live here is because they admire the natural beauty of the area. And so they were very concerned about natural resources. So everything from wanting to see lots of open space to wanting to see more outdoor education to be more alert to how we use water and how we have to maintain that water is sustainable. People talked about traffic and transportation issues as a driver of climate change. In addition, people also mentioned about history, the importance of the artifacts and documents that define the history of the area. And I think, particularly speaking as a newcomer, one of the ways you find out where you belong to is to hear the history of the place, to hear the stories of folks who have been around for a while. So those stories are important. So everything from the Glenwood Springs Historic Society to the Ute Theater to the museum that you have in Carbondale, there's this kind of undercurrent of an important, irreplaceable part of our lives that many of us don't know about and need a little bit more support. And then under parenting, I mentioned that, again, people have very little time for commuting. They just feel like they don't have time to parent. People would like to see public art, and that's one of the areas like that is an amenity that makes a place more interesting. And then safety came up as kind of a quality of life concern. Some people were concerned about the rise of certain kinds of crime, concerned about disaster preparation, particularly like wildlife mitigation, that kind of stuff. And fentanyl use is definitely on the rise. Mm. So these were kind of the broad community ones. And then the very last one was under education. And here, the issue that I kind of alluded to previously, one of them is after COVID, there was a real drop in academic achievement. Everybody mm-hmm. lost at least a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other one is that because of this, the civilian respect also was an issue at school board meetings. But the concern was that part of that gap is with the Hispanic students, exactly what you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Lots of students, very few in the AP classes. Yeah. And so that idea about seeing that there's a disparity between language groups means that's something that education has to tackle.
Well, for our listeners just joining us, this is Everything Under the Sun. And today our guest is Jamie LaRue, the executive director of the Garfield County Public Libraries District. And one thing I want to point out, just in case people don't know, the towns that encompasses, the communities you refer to, are Parachute, Rifle, Silt, Newcastle, Glenwood Springs, and Carbondale. And those are towns that do have things in common, but also have very unique characters, each one of them. Do you want to speak to that? How much of this was very universal, and were there things that you learned in Parachute that really stood out to be specific to Parachute versus Carbondale, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. So this the mind map here, this kind of presentation that we keep doing, is just to get all this stuff on one piece of paper, right? Mm-hmm. And we went around to each of the communities to debrief with the community, and we kind of customized it to the movers and shakers from that local place. And I will say that in every one of these cases, these were the same six themes, mm-hmm. and the order that I did them in was the order that people repeated them. So housing was overwhelmingly the particular concern. Not everything showed up in each community. And in Parachute, for example, which was overwhelmingly dominated by these tradespeople that were driving to Aspen every day, we heard a lot more about struggles in the schools. We heard a lot more about the concern with commuting. Mm-hmm. So there was always a wrinkle for each individual community.
Well, and then another question that comes up for me is, these things fall outside of the scope of what I think people normally think of the library addressing. Could you challenge me on that and explain why these are in the purview of the library district?
And I'll say that I think that probably over the past 10, 15 years, there has been a real shift in the way libraries think about planning and connecting to their communities. And it used to be, and I was probably one of these people, I thought it was the job of a community to make a great library. Mm-hmm. You know, and so my job was to explain why that was a really good idea, and then everybody would do it, right? And then I was about 5 years into my career, and I realized I had it absolutely backwards. It is the job of a library to make a great community. And so then, how do you plan? Do you stop and say, these are everything, all the things that a library needs, or do you do what we did to say, without even thinking about the library, tell us what's most important to you? And then the job of the library is to sit down and say, so how do we do community-centric planning? And so you can say, for instance, well, okay, we can't do anything about solving the housing crisis. Librarians aren't going to be building houses.
Well.
Yeah, probably.
Out of probably books, not. You know, I mean, you could.
We can line our houses with books, which is great insulation. I truly believe in that. But so instead it's like, well, then what does fall within our wheelhouse? Well, we can do what we did the housing summit. We found out that there's a speaker. She lives in Breckenridge. She's been working for 30 years on affordable housing things. We invited her to come to see us. We rented the youth theater. We sent out invitations to every city planner, all of the home builders, to say, this is the best thinking of Breckenridge for 30 years. Are there any ideas that you can take from this? Hmm. So that's one way that we can become a bit of a thought leader, to say everybody doesn't have to reinvent everything. We can look around and find the best thinking in our region and share it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with mental health. It's like, can we make people healthier mentally? Well, reading is not a bad start. You know, I think that's not a bad idea. But the truth of it is, as the more I explored this topic, the more I heard like people just needed to know what's here now. Who are the players, and how do I get into that? So we've reached out to the county health department to say, can we host 4 meetings a year where you come in and talk about the first one coming up, which is just what is mental? So when suicidal ideation, I'm thinking about suicide, what should you do? Where do you go? How do you prevent some of these things? And so we're just trying to use the platform of the public library, which is free. It's warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And it's a place where people can gather and talk about things that mean something. And so I think this whole idea about a focus on meaningful conversation is something that the library can take a leadership role in, because people don't really want to just be yelled at all the time. They actually want to talk to each other. They want to learn something. And we think that's a good role for us.
Well, and since the stakeholder meetings, you have since come up with a number of initiatives. And so I did want to touch on those, and then I'm going to totally hand it over to Gus and Yesenia here for the remainder of our time together.
Okay, right. That'd be right. So we tried to pick up, I think it was five, ultimately, things we wanted to do. The first one is that build community. And that phrase, have meaningful conversations, is kind of what I mean by that. And so that's everything from we want to do more civic meetings. We want to we see the library's role in economic development in building a stronger community. So that's touching a bit on that economy piece. We had made when back in, I think it was 2017, we made some promises to the community about the 6A initiatives to serve various groups like, you know, veterans and the elderly. And then we found out, as I mentioned, in talking to people who work with the LGBTQ community, we want to do something to highlight the youth needs of that community. So that's the first initiative, which is building community. The second one is early literacy. And I think you came to a talk that I did a long time ago, Raleigh, where I was just talking about this, and that research suggests that the smartest thing we can do to keep children healthy and to live long as adults is the same thing that is likely to keep them out of jail, make them free, and is more likely to see them all the way through high school and therefore probably onto more money and a better job. And that's fourth grade reading scores. And bottom line, if we can get 500 books into the home of a child, and there's a program called 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten, you will be smarter. You will do better in school. You will be healthy. You're not going to go to jail. So this idea about trying to really reach out and say that we almost own that age of 0 to 5. We are one of the places that builds brains, gets people interested in reading and empathy and stories and understanding vocabulary. So this may be the greatest contribution we make to our community. The third one is Spanish services, and that's kind of falls into really five areas. We want to build our collections. And so we, just in last year, we went from 1% of our collection in Spanish to 5%. So there's clearly some ground to go here. We need to do more signs internally to the library so that people can find those collections. Mm-hmm. And with all these programs we offer, we want to do more translations, you know, for more meetings so that more people can participate in everything. And this means not just programs in English and then equipment so you can listen to it and have somebody translate to Spanish. Let's do Spanish programs that have to be translated into English. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds more like language justice. And then program those cultural programs I talked about earlier. And then the fourth one is facilities. And our buildings now are all about 20 years old. Or, excuse me, about 10 years old. And so that's the right time to go back and do some of the refresh work. So we're doing Parachute and Newcastle this year. And next year, we're going to come back to Carbondale and Goodhart Springs. And then in 26, we'll do Silt and
Newcastle.
Rifle.
Okay.
And then finally, we want to build our workforce. And again, I mentioned that very hard for us to just recruit people out of the blue. And so what's fun for our staff is to say, then we have to work with the people who are here. So we're trying to recruit people who might want to find their passion in libraries and grow them and help them go out and find careers in librarianship, and I'm hoping to graduate as many library directors from our staff as possible.
Hmm. Thank you so much for even breaking that news, right? First time those initiatives have been announced publicly.
This is the first initiative.
All right. So for all you listeners, you're the first to know.
What do you think? Yeah, are we on the right track with this stuff? Are we making our community better by doing these things?
Yeah, that seems solid. At least for me, a very nerdy 17-year-old boy. Most of the times when I've had like issues in my life, I've reflected back on things that I've read and things that I've listened to other people talk about to make me feel more like that this is a universal experience.
Yeah.
And I think that power of reading will grant the ability for someone to make better decisions than an adult, not necessarily because they have like higher reading comprehension, although that is helpful, but more just because to read is a, what's the word? To read is a exercise in empathy and an exercise in learning about someone else, because you have to, because we want to know how the story ends.
Yeah.
So by practicing more of this empathy through reading, because we force ourselves to get engrossed in the lives of characters and the lives of people writing autobiographies, I think that it helps grow more empathetic and more understanding adults. Do you want to talk some on that, Yesenia, or something else? Because I keep making you build on my points. You can do whatever you want.
I was with the 1,000 books before fifth grade, was it?
Oh, great. Yeah.
Kindergarten.
Before kindergarten. Between the ages of 0 and 5.
Oh. Yeah, I was that surprised me a lot, and I think that's very beneficial for a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And also it's like, it's either a very easy stage for them to learn how to read, or a really difficult stage for them.
Yeah.
I know, like, kids I've taken care of, or family members, even myself, I had, I had troubles reading, learning how to read.
Yeah.
And I think that one was really good, that one that you mentioned a lot of a lot of good things, but that one really shocked me, how he said, once past 5, a kid starts... Well, nowadays, kids start thinking well, or they start, seeing what others do. And if they do get into, reading or, seeing, having different perspectives from, things they read or listen to is really useful for a kid.
Yeah.
I have one question on that point.
Sure.
Does it matter what the 1,000 books are? Which books?
Yeah. No, it really doesn't. and it's one of the things I get a big kick out of is that... there was a study that was done of 27 different countries, and it was over a 20-year period. And they found that if they could get 500 books, this isn't even 1,000, into a home, and it didn't make any difference what the books were, it was as good as having two parents with master's degrees, regardless of the education of the parents, regardless of the income of the parents. So really the very best way to get smarter and to do well in life is just to read as much as you can, even if it's just cereal boxes and comic books.
We are just about out of time. Did you have a final thought, Yesenia?
I had a final question.
Sure, go for it.
Because you said that, when you first started working, you thought that, the community had to make the library strong.
Yeah.
How did you know that it was, up to the library to make the community strong instead of, giving the idea and people will do it?
I guess it's there's a couple of moments. And I can remember one moment I went to the town of Parker, and there were about half of the downtown businesses were closing. And I met with all the business owners, and they said, we invited the library to come here because we have questions. We want to build a stronger downtown. And it never occurred to us that we should go to the library and ask that question. Could you help us figure that out? And all of a sudden you realize, well, we have to do a better job than saying, what color label should we stick on the DVDs? it's like, how do we help the community solve big problems?
Yeah.
And we wound up, I think, saving the downtown of Parker. Yeah. So that's pretty powerful stuff.
That is. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank our guest hosts here, Gus Richardson and Yesenia Benavides-Burgos. Also give a shout out, Yesenia will be spinning music tonight with the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program, 7 p.m. Don't miss it. And a big thanks to Executive Director of the Library District, Jamie LaRue.
Pleasure to be back, and a pleasure to talk to you young folks.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you too, friend.
Yes. And a big thanks to our libraries.
Thank you.
Let's go, libraries.
Oh.